It's an old question. One source claims it was raised more than two centuries ago by an influential Greek philosopher who insisted, if God can prevent evil but doesn't want to, he's not good. If God wants to prevent evil but can't, he's not God. And if God wants to prevent evil and can, why doesn't he? Of course, I don't believe this philosopher was the first person to ask the question. I'm sure it's much older than that. And as old as it is, it's a question that's as current as the constantly updating news feeds on your phone. Why doesn't God do something? Just this past week, I saw that a father in Texas pled guilty to punishing his 8-year-old daughter by forcing her to jump on a trampoline in 110-degree heat without any break, even for water, until she died of dehydration. One example of more than 1,800 children who die each year in this country from neglect and abuse. Why doesn't God do something? Just this week, I saw a report of a brother and sister, both in their 50s, who shot and killed a 66-year-old man at a park in Cerritos so they could steal his car. One example of the 20,000 people killed each year from violent crime in this country. Why doesn't God do something? Just this week, I saw published accounts reporting that more than 700 unarmed civilians, many of them Christian, and including women and children, were slaughtered in northern Syria over several days by violent supporters of the overthrown Assad regime. One example of the more than 30,000 civilians who die in armed conflicts each year. Why doesn't God do something? Just this week, I learned of a man sentenced to 15 years in prison for trafficking women across the western United States. One example of the estimated 27 million human trafficking victims in our world. Why doesn't God do something? And of course, the list goes on. Why doesn't God do something? Well, I don't pretend to have superior wisdom or secret knowledge to be able to answer that question, but I do know where to find the answer. Jesus. And in fact, when we bring this question to Lord Jesus, we learn that he gives us two answers. And that's our focus today. So look with me, please, at the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Apostle John. John chapter 7. In John 7, we find Lord Jesus in the city of Jerusalem during an important Jewish festival that lasted 7 days. This festival was celebrated each year for three primary purposes. First, to thank God for his multiple blessings, including deliverance from Egypt. Second, to petition him for rain for the fields in the coming year. And to celebrate in anticipation of the Messiah's reign in the future in eternal abundance. And every day during the festival, beginning on the second day, a priest would go to a pool near the temple and fill a gold pitcher with water. And then he would return to the temple and pour out the water on the altar. So that's the situation when we come to verses 37 to 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. It says, now on the last day, the great day of the festival, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. The one who trusts in me, as the scripture said, From their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he said of the Spirit, whom those trusting in him were to receive. In these words of Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God reveals to us two answers to the question, why doesn't God do something about all the horrible things we do to one another? Or, to be more accurate, two parts to the answer to this question. And to understand Lord Jesus' answer in this passage, we have to first begin to understand ourselves. You and I, everyone here, everyone you know, everyone anywhere in the world, everyone who has ever lived, everyone who will ever live at some time, everyone is desperately thirsty. Did you know that it may be possible to survive 30 days or more without food, but probably only 3 to 5 days without water? We need water. Our bodies overall are about 60% water. But our brains and heart are more than 70% water, our lungs are nearly 80% water, and our blood plasma is more than 90% water. We need water. We need a continual ready supply of water to survive physically. That's one of the reasons why access to water has been historically a root cause of international conflicts. For example, between Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt, between Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, between China and neighboring countries, between Iran and Afghanistan, between India and Pakistan, and the list goes on. We need water desperately. Our physical survival depends on it. Without water, we die. But when Lord Jesus invites all who are thirsty to come to him, he's not talking about this physical thirst that is critical for our physical survival. He was speaking of the thirsts of our souls. Everyone here, everyone you know, everyone anywhere in the world, everyone who has ever lived, everyone who will ever live at some time, everyone is desperately thirsty. Our souls thirst for security, for love, for joy, for understanding. By that I mean answers to our questions, and for purpose. Desperately. We do whatever we can think of to satisfy these elemental thirsts. We even settle for woefully poor substitutes that offer quick temporary relief but not deep satisfaction. When our thirst for security goes unquenched, we strike out with hostility. Maybe I can feel safer by threatening your safety. Of course, it doesn't work. Hostility is no substitute for security, so it only gets worse. When our thirst for love goes unquenched, we attempt to accumulate power as if dominance could ever replace acceptance. But of course, it can't. When our thirst for joy goes unquenched, we try to replace it with pleasure, which is addictive but not at all satisfying. When our thirst for understanding goes unquenched, we just keep pursuing all the other counterfeit alternatives in blind ignorance, because without understanding, we don't know what we don't know. And when our thirst for purpose goes unquenched, we obsess on distractions, and there are so many. We fill our lives with distractions in an attempt to somehow make up for lack of purpose. Did you know There's a lawnmower racing association. Yeah, it's a thing. People who are organized to spend a great amount of money and time on modifying and racing riding lawnmowers. There's an extreme ironing bureau of people who compete by carrying irons and ironing boards to extreme and remote locations to iron their clothes. There is a World Rock, Paper, Scissors Association for people who are heavily involved in teaching and increasing participation in the game and hosting both amateur and professional rock, paper, scissors competitions. Distractions. Scripture describes all these counterfeit substitutes, which aren't at all actual sufficient substitutes, as broken cisterns. It's in Jeremiah 2:13. In this verse, God is speaking and says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've carved out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." We try to construct our own cisterns, our own water tanks to draw from in order to satisfy our elemental soul thirsts. But they are utterly ineffective. First, they aren't connected to the living water for which our souls desperately thirst. And second, the cisterns we construct are broken. They don't hold water. Hostility as a substitute for security. Broken cistern. Power in place of love doesn't hold water. Pleasure instead of joy, broken. Blind ignorance, completely unaware that we lack understanding. Nope. Distractions replacing purpose? Really? Broken cisterns, all. And in frustration and desperation, we attack ourselves and those around us. This is true for individuals, for groups, and for nations. No wonder there's so much injustice, exploitation, and violence. Our world is filled with people in frenzied rivalry to relieve their parched souls. And Lord Jesus, as we've seen in John 7, taught that he would satisfy our soul's thirst with the living water of his very presence and power. You may recall that Lord Jesus talked about this on a different occasion with someone else. It's recorded in John chapter 4. Lord Jesus and his closest followers are traveling from Jerusalem and Judea back to Galilee, and they go through Samaria on the way, and they come to a well on the outskirts of a town called Sychar. And the disciples go into town to get some food, and Lord Jesus, Scripture says, was tired, and he sat down by the well. It was about noon, and a local woman from town came to the well to draw water, and Scripture says Lord Jesus asked her for a drink. And for several reasons, she expressed surprise in reaction to his request. And then he said to her, according to verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is asking you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, she doesn't get it and dismisses his invitation with the observation that he had nothing with which to draw water from the well, much less living water. So he responds, as recorded in verses 13 and 14, "Everyone who drinks this well water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. For the water I give will become in them a well of water springing up into eternal life. Sound familiar? Very similar to his invitation that we just read in chapter 7 that he announced on the last day of the festival in Jerusalem. Now, some of you are thinking, I've forgotten the question that we're supposed to be addressing. Why doesn't God do something about all the horrendous things we do to each other? But I haven't forgotten, and here's the answer. Why doesn't God do something? The answer is, he already has. He sent Jesus. And in Lord Jesus, all our souls' thirst are satisfied. One of the most powerful illustrations that I know of the living water that Lord Jesus gives is from a fictional story that presents profound truth. And I want to share with you a scene from this story. We're going to watch it. I think it's going to stream on Facebook. But remember that Sister Elizabeth puts an audio of the messages every week. And so later this week, you'll see on the website an audio of the message. And accompanying that, you can download the notes sheet, but you also can download a PDF of this PowerPoint. And the link for the video we're about to watch is in that PDF. So if you want to be able to go back and see it again, you'll have the link that'll be there. But in the scene, a man has come to be in desperate condition because of his self-destructive ignorance, fear, and pride, and because of the apathy and cruelty of others. And you're going to see that he accepts what Lord Jesus offers, and I want you to watch what happens with him next. So here we go.
And no water for him. On your feet. Here's I'm going. You now, back to your place. Back to your place.
Lord Jesus gives living water that satisfies the thirst of our souls for security, love, joy, understanding, and purpose. Imagine a world filled with souls not desperately competing with each other for relief from these elemental cravings. A world not dominated by souls consumed with hostility and power, not obsessed with pleasure, not absorbed with distractions. If a world like that were to ever come into existence, it would happen one life at a time. And you may be thinking right now, well, that's impossible. And I'm not going to argue that with you today. But what I do insist is, it is possible in your life. Have you accepted this invitation of Lord Jesus? Have you received the refreshing, transforming, living water he gives? You can. In fact, you can receive him right now. Here's how. First, acknowledge you can't satisfy your own thirsts and stop trying. You weren't created to be able to quench your soul's thirst. And then open your life to the presence and power of Lord Jesus. Accept his forgiveness for the arrogance of trying to do for yourself what only he can do. And receive the gift of his Spirit to satisfy your soul's thirst. And begin to walk in his refreshing, transforming presence every day. You can accept Lord Jesus' invitation with a simple prayer, maybe something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for the generous gift of your presence and power. Forgive me for ignoring all you've done. I want to turn my back on trying to live without you. And right now I receive you into my life. I trust in you as my Savior and my Lord. I accept your invitation to fill me with the living water of your Spirit. Now, these words aren't a script that has to be repeated word for word, but they are an example for trusting in Lord Jesus. You know, we would have been surprised if the suffering man in the movie scene had rejected what Lord Jesus offered him. And we would have said that he's a fool. But he didn't refuse what Lord Jesus offered him, because he already had tried to satisfy his own needs and had failed. He knew he was desperate. And he knew when Lord Jesus offered to help him, he was desperate for what Lord Jesus gives. What about you? Are you ready to acknowledge that you need to come to Lord Jesus? If you recognize you can't satisfy your own soul thirst, and you're ready to stop trying, if you want to open your life to the presence and power of Lord Jesus, accept his forgiveness, receive the living water that satisfies the thirst of your soul, and begin walking in his refreshing, transforming presence every day, if you're ready to trust in Lord Jesus, then you can pray the following prayer or something like it. Lord Jesus, thank you for the generous gift of your presence and power. Forgive me for ignoring all you've done. I want to turn my back on trying to live without you. And right now I receive you into my life. I trust in you as my Savior and Lord. I accept your invitation to fill me with the living water of your Spirit. Amen. If you trusted in Lord Jesus for the first time today, then before you leave, please talk to me or one of the other leaders of our congregation. We want to pray with you. We want to support you in your journey of faith. And let me say to all of us, it's important that all of us understand that when Lord Jesus invites us to come to him and drink, he is not inviting us to come to him once, take a drink, and then leave. Lord Jesus' invitation is that we come to him so that he can place his Spirit within us as a deep, inexhaustible well of living water from which we will be continually refreshed and so never thirst again. That's God's plan. That's what he's done, what he's already done about the horrible things we're doing to each other. Why doesn't God do something? He has. He already has. He sent Jesus. That's the answer to the question the Spirit reveals to us through Lord Jesus' invitation recorded in John 7. And as I shared when we started, there's a second answer here too, or rather a second part to the same answer. Understanding the second part to Lord Jesus' answer to the question of why God doesn't do something about all the ways we attack and hurt others begins with remembering that when Jesus was walking on the earth, people could find him and come into his presence directly, personally. But now what? How frustrating it would be if someone finally realized that Lord Jesus satisfies every thirst of their soul, each deep longing, and then not be able to find him to be able to drink, to be able to accept what he offers. Well, remember again what Lord Jesus said, recorded in verse 38 of John chapter 7. He said, "The one who trusts in me, as the scripture said, from their innermost being will flow rivers of living water." If you're one of those who has opened your life to be filled with the presence and power of Lord Jesus, then God wants for people to be able to find Jesus when they meet you. Why doesn't God do something? He already has. You are what God has done. He called you. God has already provided everything that's needed to satisfy people's thirst for security, love, joy, understanding, and purpose. And it's here in me and in you if you've received him. The problem is that we hoard all that God provides for ourselves as if it's scarce. Or we just let it run off as if it's of no value while people all around us are dying of thirst. Now you might say, wait a minute, I'm not hoarding anything. Really? Well, maybe that's true. Let's see. When was the last time you shared with someone how Lord Jesus satisfies the thirst of your soul and that he can satisfy theirs as well? Now you might say, wait a minute, I'm no preacher or evangelist. To which I would say, wait a minute. Lord Jesus didn't say from the one who is ordained will flow rivers of living water. He said from you. You might say, wait a minute, I invite people to church. To which I would say, wait a minute. Lord Jesus didn't say from every building with a steeple on top and pews inside will flow rivers of living water. He said from you. You might say, wait a minute, I don't know the Bible well enough. To which I would say, wait a minute. Lord Jesus didn't say, from the one who can name all the kings of Israel in chronological order and recite the names of the books of the Bible backward will flow rivers of living water. He said, from you. You might say, wait a minute. I don't know what they'll think of me if I tell them Jesus is what they need. To which I would say, and you're not going to know what they'll think of you if you don't say anything. And do you really believe that what they think of you is what's most important? Why doesn't God do something? He has. He sent Jesus, and he called you. And his intention is that rivers of living water would flow from within us into the lives of people we encounter. And how does that happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. First, we make contact and cultivate relationships with people who are thirsty for Lord Jesus, seeking for his spirit to lead us to those who recognize that they've not been able to satisfy the thirst of their souls. We share with them how the presence and power of Lord Jesus is satisfying our souls' deepest thirsts, and that the same is possible for them. And when they see evidence and effects of the presence and power of the Spirit of Lord Jesus in our lives, most of them will be at least curious. So we respond to their questions to show them how to accept the invitation of Lord Jesus to come and drink. And in the process, all along, we are praying for the Spirit to open their minds and hearts as only he can. And we continue in our interactions with them to demonstrate and give testimony to the difference that Lord Jesus makes. You can set aside time to walk with them through Scripture and help them see how what they're reading applies to their lives. If it's helpful, you could show them how they can go to our website and access Sunday messages that you believe might be relevant to their current situations or questions. Maybe listen to the messages with them and talk about them together. You could invite them to come with you on Sunday to check it out for themselves. And when they receive Lord Jesus, you can help them grow in their life of faith. Maybe it would help if you think about it like this. While it might not seem like it, after the recent rains over the past couple weeks and the last few days, drought conditions continued to prevail in Southern California. All of San Diego County, all of Imperial County, and most of Riverside County and Orange County are in extreme drought. About half of San Bernardino County is in severe or extreme drought. The remainder is in moderate drought. Almost all of Ventura County is in severe drought. And one area is in extreme drought. And the same is true for Los Angeles County. Almost entirely in severe drought and an area of extreme drought. Now imagine that we discovered vast, limitless underground reservoirs of fresh water and dug wells in every neighborhood and commercial district all over Southern California. There would be plenty of water for everyone, and it would be available wherever it was needed, whenever it was needed, as much as was needed, and more. Well, the fact is, God wants to fill our world with innumerable fountains of the thirst-quenching presence of Lord Jesus. And he has placed fountains of his Spirit in every place where there are people who are thirsty for the living water. In schools, in parks, in stores, in restaurants, in offices, in factories, in neighborhoods. You are the fountain. If you have accepted the invitation of Jesus as Savior to draw on the presence and power of the Spirit, then God has placed you as an inexhaustible fountain of living water so that the presence and power of Lord Jesus can flow freely into every neighborhood, network, and nation. How's that going? Is there anything obstructing the living water through your life into your relationships and connections? Why doesn't God do something? He already has. He sent Jesus, and he called you. Now is your turn. Will you be a fountain of living water, overflowing with the presence and power of Jesus? Whom do you know who needs to know about Lord Jesus' invitation and promise to quench their soul's thirst? With whom could you share your story of how Lord Jesus satisfies your deepest longings? I want all of us to pause right now to pray about what it is Lord Jesus is calling us to do and with whom. Ask the Spirit to bring to mind one or more names, faces, people with whom you can share the living water. And record their names now. Record their names on your phone or write them in the space on the back of your notes sheet at the bottom. And begin to pray right now for opportunities to share Jesus with them. And then watch for what God will do to give you those opportunities. I want everybody to write down at least one name of someone with whom you believe our Lord is calling you to share. Someone with whom you will share our Lord's invitation recorded in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Let the one who thirsts come. Let the one who will take the free gift of the water of life. I'll pause a moment while you record a name. You got at least one name? Let's pray. We are grateful, Lord, that you satisfy all of our deepest longings and our soul's thirst. So many of us here in this room have experienced what it means to encounter you in a personal and transforming way. We confess to you that far too often we stray away from drawing on your presence and power, forgetting that it's only in you that our deepest longings are satisfied. And rather go back to trying to find ways to meet our own needs, satisfy our own thirst. And as a result, Lord, we confess also that that means that we haven't been available to the people you brought into our lives, that you intended to touch through us, that you intended to bring to your presence in a refreshing and transforming way, because we've been so wrapped up in what we haven't been doing that we've not been available and aware of what you want to do through us in their lives. So we receive your forgiveness, Lord. Ask that you would keep us refreshed in the transforming presence of your Spirit and aware of all the people that we're encountering that you want to touch through us. All the others who also are dying from thirst for your presence and your power. We pray that you would show us how it is that we might be available, unobstructed, with the flow that goes into their lives as you intend. And I pray specifically for those names and faces that you've brought to our minds and hearts in these last couple of moments. I pray for my friends here, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you would keep them aware as we leave this place today of those opportunities, particularly for these individuals that you've brought to our hearts and minds. And we will be very careful to give you the glory for all the result. Amen.